Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Podcast. You join us ahead of day two of the Punchestown Festival on this Wednesday. Sam Norris here with you on the podcast, and joining me on the line as ever to look at all the action is Andy Holding. Morning, Andy, you good?
Morning, Sam. Yes, very well, thank you.
An excellent start to the festival yesterday, and more joy for William Mullins scooping all three grade ones on the day. What did you make of the action?
Yeah, typical that William Mullins did climb the limelight as he often does here at this meeting. Not necessarily in the fashion he would have been hoping for, because although he did take the big grade one over fences with Valzolido, he would have been probably deep down quite disappointed by the run of Don Polly, as were many of his supporters, including yours truly. I'm not really sure what went wrong with Don Polly yesterday. It's his first poor run in his career. It's not the end of the world for him, of course, because he still looks a nice prospect, but that was probably one of the most unexplainable things yesterday. Other than that, everything went according to script, didn't it, for the master trainer. Duvan looked imperious as ever, as expected, and at least he's now got Valzolido back on track as well, which was looking a little bit tenuous going into yesterday. And of course, Felix Young took the Grade 1 chase as well to cap off a fantastic day for him. So, and he looks like he's got another good hand again today. So, supporters of Willie Mullins, it could well be another day in the sun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose it's almost typical of William Mullins. If when his first string seems to disappoint, he seems to win the race anyway with something a little less fancied.
Well, yeah, I mean, it happened at the Cheltenham Festival, didn't it, when Annie Power fell at the last, but who was there to pick up the pieces? It was Glenn's Melody. So I suppose he won't mind which way he wins it. But at the same time, I still think, you know, he would probably have liked Don Polly to have run a little bit better. That was the only black spot on the horizon.
Yeah, and hopefully you can have another good day today. We'll start then with the first race of the day that comes up at 3:40. This one is a 2.5 mile handicap hurdle. We've got co-favourites of three at the time recording: Nickname Exit, Castles Rock and Riviera Sun are all 8-1 chances. It's 10-1, about 8-late Oscar Knight and Landau, 12-1 for Fine Theatre Egyptian Warrior and Tarabin, 14s bar. Looks absolutely wide open, this first contest, and you could hardly have a more difficult race to start with. Where do you start?
Yeah, I'll start with the favourite. I think he's a worthy one of that, and that's Oscar Knight. Comes from a yard who had a very good day here yesterday, of course. They took the big handicap hurdle at the Thomas Mullin stable. And they've got a good chance here with this six-year-old gelding by Oscar Knight, who has got some really good form here at the track. I think that's a good starting point. He's run here four times. He's yet to be out the frame or yet to run a bad race. He won his last start over hurdles here. Two starts back when he beat Undressed quite comfortably in the end. He then went to the EBF final at the Ferry House Festival over the Easter period, and he ran an absolute blinder to finish fourth in what was a hell of a race this year. I think it was a really good EBF final. Some classy horses in that, including the second fine article, and of course the well-backed William Mullins train Pleasant Company, who every man and his dog on the track thought was an absolute certainty. And, he's only got beaten 10 lengths by those three very good horses who were on top of the game. I think a repeat of that performance should be good enough to be seen be there or thereabouts here. And of course, he's got the added bonus of David Mullins on board, who arguably is the best up-and-coming conditional over in the weighing room in Ireland. So he does have plenty in his favour. He's got the ground, he's got the track, he's got the good form. At 10-1, I think he's a fair each-way bet. Beyond him, I think 8-later run well. That horse has been plying his trade in slightly lesser company, but it doesn't mean that you should underestimate Peter Casey's seven-year-old. A good win last time out at Wexford when he beat Eshti Hal. And Eshti Hal went to the Perth Festival with a lot of confidence behind him the other day, back from 9-4 to 10-11, only to unship the hapless Dickie Johnson down at the start when he didn't line up. Unfortunately, we didn't get a good chance to see that form, but the fact that he beat that Gordon Elliott's well-handicapped horse suggests that he's on the upgrade. And at double figure odds as well, he can also be factored into the equation. But the main selection would be Oscar Knight.
Okay, then Oscar Knight getting the nod for Andy then in that competitive 3:40. The next race on the card then comes up at 4:20. We've got another 2.5 mile hurdle, and Identity Thief is the 2-1 favourite here. 9-2 for Sadler's Risk. Marchese Marconi is 7-1. Aklan is 8-1. 12's Bar. This looks potentially a bit more straightforward with the two Henry de Bromhead runners at the forefront of the market. Who do you like in this race?
Well, I think Identity Thief sets a fair standard. That run behind Sampro and Medici in the Grade 2 at Fairy House is probably the best form coming into this race. Certainly put behind him that disappointing run in the Grade 1 at Leopardstown on Hennessy Day behind Nicholas Canyon when the wheels rather came off of him. Because, hey, bookending that are two perfectly respectable performances. If he runs up to that level, then he surely is the one to beat. But I do think Marchese Marconi could outrun his odds here this morning, round about 7 or 8 to 1 on the morning line. He was in the process of running a huge race at Fairy House over the Easter period on his last run when he unseated Joseph O'Brien the last. Now, that performance, I think, has been highlighted by several horses in that race coming out and franking the form, including Salita. Regular podcasters will know that I was quite sweet on that horse the other day at Wexford and duly obliged. And the fact that Marchese Marconi was carrying 12 stone 1 suggest that was a really, really good effort until obviously unseated rider. If you go back to his form, most of his form is on better ground that he's been encountering throughout the winter as well. So the drying surface here at Punchestown, of course, a nice breezy, bright day again here over in Ireland, should suit him. So I think he's got a great chance here today, Marchese Marconi. Conditions are in his favour. I think 2.5 miles is absolutely spot on. And like I said, that speed figure that race at Fairy House last time out when he fell at the last winning contention suggests that he should be there or thereabouts.
Okay, then fair enough. Next up is the 4:55. The first, the Grade 1s on Wednesday. This is a 3-mile novices hurdle, and Shane Hill heads affairs for William Mullins at 7-4. 3-1 for No More Heroes. Thistlecrack is 7-1. It's 10s bar those. More Grade 1 success for the master trainer here, Andy?
Yeah, it could well be, couldn't it, with Shane's Hill. But this is the big question, isn't it? The big clash of the day, or one of them, is the No More Hero Shane's Hill latest saga. If you go back to December, of course, they both ran in the Navan Hurdle, and Shane's Hill was expected to keep his 100% record over hurdles intact, only to come up against the improving No More Heroes, who took his measure quite comfortably that day, in the end, outstaying him up the hill. And of course, No More Heroes was a bit unlucky at the Cheltenham Festival himself in the Albert Bartlett when Brian Cooper was trying to smuggle his horse up the near side rail, only to get the door slammed in his face. The way he finished his race up the hill suggested he probably would have won the Albert Bartlett with a clear run. So, like I say, there's two sides to the coin here. Shane Hill, of course, has gone his own separate way and looked very impressive at Fairy House and obviously finished second to Duven at the festival. But No More Heroes has beaten him quite comfortably in fair and square early in the year. So this is a real puzzle for punters. Do they go with the value with No More Heroes, or do they stick with the tried and trusted formula of William Mullins with a hot short price favourite? Me personally, I thought No More Heroes was the value this morning. I didn't expect him to be 3-1, and he would be the number one selection. Away from that, just to keep an eye on Paul Nolan's horse at a big price, Fine Article. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute he can hold a candle to the front two in the market, the two genuine Grade 1 horses. But that run in that EBF final off top weight the other day was an excellent effort. We've already seen the 6th and the 8th win. And at 33-1 this morning, I think he's good enough to finish in the first 3 or 4. So just keep an eye on him. I think he's quite a nice horse in the making. But I'll go with No More Heroes. He's already defeated the favourite Shane Hill early on in the year, so why can't he do it again?
All right, then, No More Heroes in that one then. We'll move to the big race of the day, the next up at 5:30. It's the Punchestown Gold Cup, of course, a Grade 1 over 3 miles and 1 furlong. Jackadam is the 11-4 favourite this morning. It's 3-1 about Don Cossack, same price, Road to Riches. Ballynagore is 8-1, 14's bar those. It looks a really strong renewal of this race. And at the time of recording, we've got the dead 8, so possibly a fascinating racing prospect.
Definitely, Sam. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. You've got Don Cossack, who's very much the horse of the year for me anyway in Ireland. He's only been beaten once, and that was at the festival when things didn't go his way in the Ryanair. But he put the record straight with a superb win over Kew Gard, beating him by 26 lengths, no less, in the hands of Tony McCoy in that Grade 1 at the Grand National Meeting. He was hugely impressive that day. And I think he's always looked a horse, even though his best form this year has been over 2.5. That 3 miles would play into his strength. He certainly seems to be stamina is his strong point. And I certainly think he's going to get the trip. He's obviously got Jack Adam to beat, who was at second in the Gold Cup. And of course, the Gold Cup has worked out incredibly well this year, despite the bruising encounter it was, and we thought it might have left a mark on many. You know, we've already seen the likes of Many Clouds come out and frank the form. Silviana Coconzi, of course, won at Aintree. So there's 9-9 that Jack Adam does set the standard over the distance without running the Gold Cup. Of course, Jack Adam has also had a fresh season as well. He's only had 3 runs, whereas Don Cossack has had he's had 3 runs more. And that might also count against Road to Riches, who, of course, has been on the go since the Galway Plate way back in August. That might just take its toll on him. So it does look a straight fight between the three. Don't fancy any of the rest. But I'll stick with Don Cossack. He's one of my sort of horses that I'm a mad fan of, and let's hope that he improves over the 3 miles like everyone thinks he will.
OK, Don Cossack is then for Andy in the Punchestown Gold Cup at 5.30. Next up then, at 6.05, we have the Grade 1 Bumper over 2 miles. Modus heads the market here at 4-1. Joint favourites, in fact, with Disco at 4-1. Pile on the Pressure is a 6-1 chance. 7-1 for Bells Hill and Charbel. 8-1 for Super Sunday and 12s Barlow's. Willie Mullins absolutely mob-handed here, Andy, as he was with the Cheltenham Bumper. But it's none of his horses at the front of the market.
No, Modus is the market leader. The horse that finished second, of course, in the Champion Bumper in what I think was a very good race this year. It was a chock full of promising types. And Robert Stevens is charged for the second year running, got placed in that Grade 1 event. You know, he does set the standard. That's why he's favourite. Whether he's got as much as improvement in him as the likes of Disco, Pile on the Pressure, Charbel, Super Sunday, et al., he's certainly open to question. We'll certainly find out this afternoon. I think we're going to have to talk about quite a few here. Obviously, Disco is hugely impressive first time up when he won at Punchestown early on in the season. He could be anything. Pile on the Pressure, 3-3. And even though he missed the Cheltenham Festival, that could be a blessing in disguise. You got the second in the Champion Bumper, Bells Hill, at Aintree. And Charbel has obviously improved quite considerably from his first run when he won easily at Limerick the other day. But that said, I'm going to go with Super Sunday here from the Henry de Bromhead stable. Even though he was only 6 at the Champion Bumper, I'm behind Moonracer and Modus. I actually thought he'd come out one of the best horses in that race. He tried to make the run in that day and he just pulled too hard and he was too keen, too fresh. And it was a bit of an inevitable that he was going to find the hill too much of a bridge to climb in the end. And he weakened quite understandably back into 6 in the latter stages. But I just think if Jeremy Codd can hold on to him a little bit more keenly in the early stage and stop him running away with him and hopefully there's a stronger pace on, he can get a lead, I think we'll see a much better performance on Super Sunday. And if that's the case, then he's got a good chance of being as impressive as he was at Ascot 2 starts ago when he ran away from a good field. So it's all about the pace of the race here today. It's all about Super Sunday settling off the back of strong tractions. There are plenty of front runners in the race, so hopefully today he doesn't have to row his own boat. And 8-1 with William Hill this morning, I think he represents a really sound each-way bet in what should be a fascinating affair.
Right, OK, then Super Sunday in the bumper for Andy. We'll move on then to the 6.40 race. This one is a handicap chase over 2.5 miles and Gold Bullet heads affairs at 8-1. 10-1 for Toon River. Rafflin is an 11-1 chance. Same price for Bally Adam Approach. Turban is 12. Bigger prices the rest of them. This could potentially be another tricky one to call, Andy.
Yeah, definitely, Sam. I'm going to go with a couple of horses at big prices here. We can get 12-1, 14-1 for Art of the Logistics. And we can get 16-1 with William Hill for Bright New Dawn. Those are the two horses I'm nominating here. We'll start off with Art of Logistics, who's got a really good record here at the track. He's managed to win his last 3 starts over fences. And on each occasion, the ground has been similar to what he encounters this afternoon, i.e. on the yielding side of good. He came back off a big layoff the other day to finish a very creditable 6th in the John Hughes at Aintree. That should have put the finishing touches on his preparations here. And with the Sandra Hughes team in good form, like I say, I do think round about 12-1 is a decent each-way bet for him. And the other one I mentioned is the stable companion as well of Art of Logistics, Bright New Dawn, who hasn't actually fired to any great extent this season, albeit he hasn't run badly. I mean, you know, he did finish 2nd to Hidden Cyclone in a Grade 2 early on in the season here around this track, but subsequently, he's rather gone back into his shell. But I'm putting that down to the ground. He basically, for me, wants plenty of decent ground. He doesn't like softy surface. And with the ground conditions drying out all the time here at Punchestown, I think today's going to be absolutely spot on for Bright New Dawn. He's absolutely top of my speed figures with several good runs early on in his career on decent ground. And hopefully today he can prove what a good horse he is. So I'm going to go with Bright New Dawn and Art of Logistics. They're both really good each-way bets from an informed stable.
Okay, fair enough then. We'll move on to the final race of the day then. This one comes up at 7:15. It's a bumper over 2 miles and 2 furlongs. Joint favourites at the time recording, Champers on Ice and First Figaro are both 3-1 chances. Arkrist is 7-2, 12-1 for Razor Tail, 14s. But traders can't separate the front two in the market, Andy, can you?
No, this is a difficult race for me here. I probably would have actually left the building, as it were, by the time they run the last race. But yeah, the Mercedes is in a fascinating affair all the same. We've got Arkwist, who was a beaten favourite last time out, but time will tell that he obviously got beat by a good horse in the shape of Conway Hill. You've also got First Figaro, who got beat by a nice horse of Gordon Elliott's first time out in the shape of Space Cadet. I think that form's fairly reliable as well. And thrown to the mix, you've got, of course, David Pipe putting a spanner in the works with his Champers on Ice, who was a winner of a point-to-point last time out. Of course, runs in the same colours of the champion bumper winner, Moon Racer. So there's half a chance that this horse will be more than up to the standard required to take a race of this nature. He's already been well backed in this morning, and I've had several tips flown around for this horse to suggest that he's been doing some nice stuff at home. So despite the real strong home representation from the big powerful stables such as Weld and Mullins et al, I'm going to go with Davy Pipe for the English contingent with Champers on Ice, and hopefully he lives up to his tall reputation.
OK, Champers on Ice then, getting the pick in that 7:15. If you just spin us through your selections one more time, please, Andy, for the second day of the festival.
Yeah, competitive day today at Punchestown, as most of the races suggest, with the numbers and the general quality on show. In the first race, I'm going to kick off with Oscar Knight. I think 10-1's a decent each-way bet for him, considering he's got some good form around the track. In the 4:20, I'm going to go with Marches Marconi, who comes out of a good speed figure the other day at Fairy House. And he's got his good ground to run on for the first time for quite a while. In the 4:55, I'm going to stick with No More Heroes, who beat Shane Till early on in the season in the Navan Novices Hurdle, and hopefully he can confirm the form. In the big race of the day, the Gold Cup, I want to take a chance at Don Cossack, proves equally as good over 3 miles as he has been over 2.5. In the 6:05, the big bumper of the day, I'm going to go with Super Sunday, who I thought ran a Herculean race in the front in the champion bumper. Hopefully with a bit more restraint today, he can be equally competitive in the latter stages. Sandra Hughes dominates my thoughts in the 6:40 with both Art and Logistics and Bright New Dawn both having sound each-way chances at decent prices. And in the final race, I'm going to go with David Pipe, Champers on Ice, who represents the winning team, of course, of the champion bumper at Moon Racer in that concluding 2x2 contest.
OK, fair enough then, the thoughts of our Irish racing experts, Andy Holding, ahead of day two of the Punchestown Festival. You'll hear all of the action alongside all the domestic stuff as well with Gordon Brown, John Budden and Gary Capewell on William Hill Racing Radio. So do join us for that. Set to be a busy, busy day of action on this Wednesday. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast this morning, Andy, and hope you enjoy the racing today.
Will do, Sam. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.